Oh, this is wonderful to get to see everyone and many people, not everyone, but we get to see a lot of you. It's so great. Welcome. Welcome to this call.
Welcome, everyone. It's a delight to be with you this morning, and we have something very interesting to discuss this morning. In fact, it's really probably at the heart of most everyone's life. And as you're creating authentic power, it becomes consciously at the heart of everyone's life. And that's what makes it possible to examine and possible for you to start to reshape your words and your behavior from fear-based to love-based. Have you got anything you'd like to say about that?
I really love talking about this because I think that it's just a different perspective on the things that are everyday conversations and everyday interactions with people. And I think this will really spark your interest in looking at the way you interact with people in a very different way, possibly. So we'll talk more about it. So beloved, let's begin that right now, actually.
The topic that we have to discuss today is, pardon me. The topic that we have to discuss today is integrity and compromise. Integrity and compromise. Take a moment to think of those two words and the role they play in your life. Which one plays more of a role in your life? Integrity or compromise? A compromise involves frightened parts of personalities. Compromise is a lack of integrity. That's the relationship between compromise and integrity. Compromise doesn't have any. Now, we're speaking now from the context of multisensory perception, from the impersonal perspective of a soul. Integrity comes from the word integral. It means wholeness, being together, one, unity. That is love. As you begin to see that the soul with which you are striving to align your personality is not a consciousness that involves fear, then you realize that to be in your integrity, to be in your wholeness, requires acting and speaking from love. When you compromise, that's not the case. Compromise is the development of resentment. Compromise is disregard for the interest of others. It appears to be in the interest of others, but it's not. It's a probing to see how much can be taken from the other before the other resists altogether. There's a giving in and there's a giving up, but it's not complete giving in. It's the fostering of resentment, of distance, of dislike. It's the creation of distance that develops without spoken word. It's a pushing away because a part of the personality has not achieved what it wants. On the other hand, the one who has imposed himself or herself in the name of compromise is content because he or she has achieved the successful pursuit of external power. But that's temporary. That's temporary because every moment brings a different circumstance. And your life is filled with moments. Compromise requires a lack of integrity, except as seen from the perspective of fear. The perspective of gaining as much as possible before accepting the terms of the compromise. Therefore, no compromise involves integrity from the impersonal perspective of the soul. Integrity requires creating love, which is wholeness, instead of fear, which is fragmentation. Only the choice to respond consciously from a loving part of your personality has integrity. all other choices to react from frightened parts of your personality. All others are choices to react from frightened parts of your personality. And these choices are almost always made unconsciously. So in other words, if your demands are rigid and righteous, they come from frightened parts of your personality. They are artificial needs that these parts create to maneuver through the earth school. An artificial need is something that a frightened part creates and then demands in order to feel better about itself and safe. Having their needs met makes the frightened parts of your personality feel that way, feel better about itself, feel safe. It affirms their superiority to them and confirms their inferiority to them. None of this has to do with loving parts of your personality. Authentic needs are the needs of your soul, which means the loving parts of your personality. Creating authentic power is an authentic need. Acting in integrity will bring these issues to the surface of consciousness, your consciousness, and often the consciousness of the person you're interacting with. What are you frightened of? What you're frightened of is exactly what needs to be looked at and discussed, because these are all concerns of frightened parts of your personality, the parts you need to experience and challenge in order to grow spiritually, in order to create authentic power. Creating authentic power is an authentic need. In the context of creating authentic power, you're either out of integrity or in your integrity, which means you're either co-creating or you're compromising.
That's such a big thing to say, because what you're saying is, if I'm out of my integrity, I'm in fear.
That's correct.
And if I'm co-creating, I'm in love. I'm in a loving part of my personality. And if I'm compromising, I'm not in a loving part of my personality.
Yes, that's exactly right. If you're compromising, you're in a frightened part of your personality.
Right. So I want to ask some things about this. So for me, this has been a really amazing exploration, but it didn't start with this call. It started many years ago when I realized how often I was trying to please people, or how often I would say things that I didn't really mean, so that it would kind of make things be okay. And so I think this happens throughout our life all the time, but it's so familiar that we're not used to it. So not used to looking at it like this. So what we're saying is, let's look at it today. Let's look at how we do that in our life, when we do that in our life, so we can be more conscious of when we're actually in a loving part and when we're in a fearful part. And to know for sure, if you're in a fearful part of your personality, you are not in integrity. That's what we can say for sure, because that part wants something and it doesn't care about the other person and it doesn't even care about you. So we're talking about that today. So what I'd like to do is just ask you to right now, in fact, Gail, since I'm going to ask people to raise their hands and we're going to have some interaction here, because I think that'll really bring what we're talking to life. So could you explain to people what they need to do to raise their hand so we can begin to talk about questions, or we can share about times when we knew we were in integrity or not in integrity? So would you explain that to everyone now?
Hi, everyone. If you're joining this call by your cell phone, press *9 and that will raise your hand. If you've joined by computer, if you go to the bottom of your screen, you'll see an icon that says Manage Participants. Click on that and a menu will pop up. And on the bottom left-hand corner of that menu will be a little green hand. Just click on that and that will raise your hand.
Great, Gail. Thanks so much. Is that clear to everyone? Well, if it's not, we'll repeat it. So this is the thing. I want you to just, let's just get the conversation going. I want you to think about when you knew you needed to say something to someone or do something, and you decided to not do that. You decided to, in other words, compromise. So think about that. And so as you're thinking about that, just see what pops up into your mind. When did that happen? And it's still something that you haven't really dealt with, because it happened and you did it. And maybe you do it often. Maybe it's something you know about right now that you do like every day. Something that you often, you know you need to say something and you don't say what it is that you need to say. So let's discuss that a little bit. And even just the topic itself, you know, what is it that we've said that's bringing up stuff for you that you want to ask a question about? So just take a moment and just see what there is. And when you see what you may want to say, go ahead and raise your hand. So do that now. I'll give you a moment. I'm going to go ahead and ring the chime and then just be with that and see, what is it that I wanted to say about that right now? Hello, Char. We're going to unmute you now so you can speak.
Good morning, Gary and Linda and all
other. Good morning.
Good morning.
What played for me?
I can't hear you very well.
Gabby has the phone on next to me.
So we lost your...
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
We heard you when you began, Chad, but we're not hearing you now.
Can you hear me now?
No audio. Oh.
I know you're speaking, but we can't hear you. So we're going to come back to you, and I'm going to call on other people now. And can I see the list over here? Is it
sure.
The people who are...
Okay. Oh, here's...
Okay, Pamela.
Hi. Two things.
I'm not hearing you either.
Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, it's you. Linda, can you hear me?
Yes, it was.
There, now.
I was going to say, because I could hear Chard too, so.
Okay, good.
So, go ahead. Good.
We'll come back to Chard.
Chard.
Yeah.
I had two things come up. The first one was frequently my spiritual partner will ask me, what do you want for dinner or where do you want to go? And I don't know, whatever you want to do. That happens to me on a regular basis. And I'm realizing that indecisiveness and indecision is actually a frightened part. And I didn't really realize it till we were talking about the compromise.
Uh-huh.
And that was the way I was raised, was to compromise and not have decision. And then the other thing that came up for me that happened was the other night I wanted to listen to a meditation, and I invited my spiritual partner to listen to it with me. It was the meditation on karma, and my spiritual partner didn't want to listen to it with me, and I compromised my own self by not listening to it instead of following my intuition and going into the room and listening to it separately. And then the next morning I woke up regretting the fact that I hadn't listened to it, because I had frightened parts that were still active and triggered from the night before. And so then that morning I listened to it. So I just got to see very clearly within this last week where I compromised my own intuition and my own inner strength very, very unconsciously.
Well, what a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now you could have a frightened part of your personality that says, I do this all the time and I just feel so bad about myself and all that. That would be another frightened part that would come up to make you wrong.
Right.
Or you can say, wow, this is so exciting. I'm beginning to see how I'm not in integrity when I don't say what I really want. And yes. I'm asking my partner to, well, I don't care. You decide. I wonder how many of you have that experience. I have a feeling a lot more than just you, Pamela. So I think this is really, really good. And so thank you so much. And also not doing what you knew you needed to do the other night. So that's really exciting to be able to see that as a way that you're compromising.
Yes.
And the experience of saying, well, whatever you want, this restaurant or that restaurant, there may be caretaking involved in that as
right.
well. So these are things that for those of you who are new, you'll become more familiar with as you create authentic power. But creating authentic power is not mysterious. It's simply a process of becoming aware of your emotions and then making responsible choices. When you are aware of your emotions, because your emotions are going to tell you always whether you're in love or you're in fear. So thank you, Pam, Pamela.
You're welcome.
Let's see if Chad's, now that we found out that it was our issue.
It seems that I'm muted. Can you hear me, Gary? Linda?
Yes, we can hear you now, Chad. Thank you.
What came up for me is that in my workplace, I need to, or I'm compromising frequently. And first I thought I can do that really from a loving part. So I did not agree with the statement, or it did not feel good. But the more I thought about it, the more I think I became aware that there probably is a lot of frightened parts that I was unconscious from working with my colleagues.
Can you be specific? Because I didn't quite understand.
Yes. So if there's a conflict situation at work, then I have a tendency to find a compromise. And I thought that with that, I'm coming from a loving part to find something that is mutually acceptable. So I had difficulties with that, the statement you had, but when I let it sink in, I realized that often I have frightened parts when I'm in that conflict and have difficulties with compromising.
So in other words, instead of saying exactly what you feel is important to say, you say it in a way that you think will please other people. Is that
please
what I'm
other people and find something that is maybe not fully from where I'm fully in integer or that I am truly using authentic power.
You're not in your integrity. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. And so when you say something in that situation where you're not, where you feel like you're in your integrity, one thing that's really important about what you say is that you're not attached to how it comes out. Because if you say something in integrity, it doesn't mean that you're going to get what you want necessarily, but you know that you've said everything you need to say. And that's really important, because if you don't do that, then you are compromising. You're in a frightened part of your personality that's not actually saying what it really wanted to say. And but if you say what you want to say and you say it in your integrity, like I'm saying what this is how I feel, and I'm just going to tell you, be honest with you or whatever. The thing about that is if you have attachment and you're saying it from fear, that's not integrity either.
Yes.
So that's important to know that.
Now, what is challenging, not being attached to the outcome at work, sometimes seems to conflict with the role I'm in at work. And maybe that's two-dimensional, but that's something I'm still struggling with.
Yeah. I have a feeling lots of people are struggling with that. Because if you're in a workplace where everyone is compromising all the time, or you're no one's creating authentic power, so it's a really interesting situation where how do I create authentic power in this situation, no matter what anyone else is doing, and not be attached to what happens. Mm-hmm. So I think it's always that question when you're working, when you're with anyone actually that's not practicing.
If you compromise in the sense that we're talking about, speak without leaving your integrity, then you'll find that you resent that later. Just like Pamela said, the next day she looked back and resented not doing what she knew she needed to do. Does that happen to you, Chad? Do you feel resentful from when you compromise?
Yes, there's an element of resentment against the other person that they cannot see why maybe what I'm proposing is better.
Exactly. And that element of that experience of resentment, by the way, it's at the heart of the matter, always points to an attachment that you had when you spoke. And the attachment was not, your expectation or desire was not fulfilled. And that violates the needs of a frightened part of the personality. Mm-hmm. The needs of a frightened part of the personality are always artificial needs. They're not really that essential. Mm-hmm. They're parts that are very important, critically important to a frightened part of your personality. But they're not really authentic needs.
That's what you were calling artificial needs earlier.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. That's what I was calling an artificial need earlier.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm really going to be curious how you can be in your integrity and in other words, from love, say what you need to say without attachment. And so if you're not attached, you're not going to feel distant from the people in your work. So it'll be really, I want to hear more about that, how you're dealing with that.
I will practice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is actually a practice in creating authentic power.
Absolutely.
Because no matter what the other person does, you can create authentic power. You can become aware of the emotional currents that the interaction or the circumstance is bringing up in you. Mm-hmm. If you recognize it as fear and you choose not to act in fear, even though the fear is demanding that you act on its behalf. In other words, the fear feels justified in demanding what it wants. If you challenge that, and that's where the courage and the commitment come in, because it's a very strong magnetic demand. Mm-hmm. You create authentic power. And the more often you do that, the more that frightened part of your personality begins to lose its power over you, and you gain power over it. And that's how creating authentic power comes into being. That's how authentic power comes into being in you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I want to call in Mary. Hi, Mary. I see your picture on my screen. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. I've had a struggle, typical, I guess, sibling struggle with my sister for a lot of my adult life. And she's an older sister, and I compromised a lot. So at one point, I was doing it so much, I just said, Jean, arm length, right? Jean, I didn't say I don't want you in my life anymore, but I put limits on it. And then I started realizing after a while that I needed my sister. I wanted her back into my life. So we're developing in almost a new relationship. And so I'm so now, I feel like in many times because of the reactions I've had, I would say what I wanted with force and create more separation. And I've done that with other people. So now I kind of have this going back and forth of when do I say what I mean, I guess I know that the answer is really is to say it in a gentle way or something, but often it still comes out. If I say what I want, it comes out forceful.
Mary, the issue, if you can look at it this way for a moment, the issue is not when, the issue is how. The issue is, are you speaking in love or are you speaking in fear? When you express what you need, what you feel you would like to express in your integrity. And as you are, as you just pointed out, when you say it with force, which in the way you said that means with fear, it pushes people away. It causes separation. And that's what happened with your sister. When you said, I have to put limits on this, that's a frightened part of your personality. Love doesn't put limits, but fear does. And this you could look at as the pursuit of external power, because you were attempting to change something in the world in order to make you feel better. You're attempting to put limits on your sister. If you're going to talk that way, you can't be with me. If you're going to do this, you can't do that with me. That's the pursuit of external power. And a frightened part of your personality, of every personality, always pursues external power in order to mask the pain of, pardon me, beloved?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, so you're not saying that if someone is treating you in a really, with their own frightened parts, and it's continuous, that you're not saying that you would just continue to allow that to happen?
No, I'm not saying that at all. That wouldn't be in your integrity either, would it? What I'm saying is that integrity is acting from love, is acting with the intention of love. A love doesn't separate, it doesn't divide, it doesn't judge, it doesn't criticize. Love doesn't feel superior or inferior. Love is connected, love is open. So your challenge is you can't act in your integrity without being aware of what you're feeling. Because when you're aware of your emotions, you're aware of when fear is active in you. And that means that if you act on that part of your personality, you won't be acting in integrity. So the question is, what are you going to do? And as Linda said earlier, if you know that you need to do something and the other person is simply not open, they're not open. But you can create authentic power. You can choose to experience what you're experiencing and not act in fear, but to respond in love. Instead of telling your sister, you can't do this, you can't do that, you just do what's necessary for you. But that's not a when, that's a how. How are you going to do that? Are you going to do that with judgment, anger, creating distance in yourself? Or are you going to do it with love?
So I just wanted to ask Mary, have you, I don't know if you've been on a call before or not, have you read The Seat of a Soul?
I've read it once. I'm starting on my second time.
You're starting it on your second time? Okay. And so this situation with your sister is such a wonderful one, because it offers you the opportunity to practice creating authentic power all the time. And it sounds like you're in that process of how can I create with love rather than fear in every moment, with her and with everyone. And yes. I think it's really an exciting possibility that the universe is offering you to really look at, well, how can I be in my integrity, say what I need to say, not be attached to what happens, and have a loving, connected relationship, even if she's reacting. It's okay. I'm just wondering what you think about that.
It's becoming aware. Well, I think one thing Gary said is being aware of what my feeling, am I coming out of fear or am I coming out of love?
Right.
And acknowledging it at the moment. I don't think I was reading this book when this happened. And uh-huh. Then the book has kind of opened my eyes. And so I'm not sure what you mean by being attached.
Meaning that if you say something and your sister reacts to what you're saying, even though you know it's the best thing that you need to say in that moment, it means that when you said something, the attachment to it means that it's coming from a fearful part of your own personality when you want her to be different than she is.
So that means like having an expectation of, yes. I said something, now I expect her to act a certain way. That would be an attachment.
Yes, yes.
Rather than letting it go and say, hey, I put it out there and
right.
Let it. I guess I'm sometimes so focused right now on, I really want the relationship. I don't want to go back to what I was doing before. And so I am being very cautious.
There's a difference between an intention and an attachment. You can have the intention to have a loving, close, supportive relationship with your sister and hold that intention. It's the attachment to it that demands that your sister change for that to be able to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I can set an intention, which I have, but not be attached to the results.
Exactly. Right. That is within your capability. You have that power.
And then I'm walking in integrity because I'm being who I need to be and saying what I need to say.
Well, from the perspective of your soul, you're being in integrity because you're expressing yourself with love.
Okay.
So this will take practice, to keep practicing and seeing how it is that you can say what you need to say with love and not be attached to what your sister does or doesn't do. Mm-hmm. Because you know your intention is to create with love. And if you find that you're not creating, if you find you have expectations, then you'll know that I need to do that again. I need to be with that, because maybe my intention came from fear rather than love, because I'm expecting her to be different than she is.
So, beloved, we have some other people that are raising their hands.
But be with this, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, be with this.
Oh, thank you. Very helpful.
Yeah, see what happens as you practice. It's an ongoing meditation to keep practicing and practicing all the time, and your sister's perfect for you for this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'd like to call on Sula. Sula, can you hear me?
She's not unmuted yet.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There you are. Okay, Sula. Sula, can you hear me? Hi.
Hi. I can hear.
No, not very well.
You're breaking up, Sula.
Something wrong with your.
Sula, try stopping your video and see if that allows your audio to be better. I think we can probably do that for you. Can you still hear us? Can you hear us now? Well, Sula, we're not hearing you.
No, so we'll go on. And if you can get back on later, that would be great to talk to us. How about you, Ray? Hi, we're gonna unmute you in a moment.
Hi.
Originally, I wanted to support Chart and say, you know, I find it extremely difficult in a work environment to not compromise. And originally, I was, you know, adopting more the consensus/. Pleasing, trying to please everyone, and that I found that it was coming from fear, and it was in many cases I felt it was coming out of fear by trying to, you know, avoid any specific confrontations as such, because I wanted everyone to be happy, but maybe the result was not too happy, at least from my own perspective. And then, you know, when I started to speak up, and I found like I was reacting out of a judgment and fear as well. At the end of the day, I was like trying, I mean, there are expectations, there are deadlines, there are things that need to be taken into consideration, but I was also felt like I was trying to act out of fear, which created a lot of friction, resentments in a team. So I started to hold on, and then I went back to feeling like I'm holding on because of fear too. It's kind of like, so, and I remember last time I was asking, you know, how do we balance between that, you know, those two situations, and Gary said you cannot balance because one comes out of, like, you know, it's either fear or love, and there is no balance between fear and love. It's, you know, the position. But I just wanted to say, like, in a work environment, this is really, really very, very tough, I think.
So, Ray, can you give me an example of a time when you have been able to be in your integrity and not compromise that was successful for you? Why don't you just be with that for a little bit and see if there is a time? And in the meantime, I want everyone to think about that. When is it that you have, when you knew that if you said or did a certain thing that would be compromising, and you decided not to do it that way? You decided that, and you knew for sure you were going to say what you needed to in integrity. And you felt so good about that. So just, if you can, close your eyes and just be with that a moment and just see what stands out in your heart as a time when you were able to do that, when you had a choice between being in integrity and compromising, and you chose differently, and it was so meaningful to you that you didn't forget that. So I'm going to have you just close your eyes so we can hear some examples, and just go ahead and see what comes to you right now. So just be with that and just see what comes. Because I think you're going to find some examples. So when you think of it, just raise your hand, because I really love to have people sharing, because I think it'll help us all to understand exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about creating with integrity and in creating, and then as opposed to compromising, and how we've had a time when it was so meaningful to us. So go ahead and raise your hand when you think of that time, or maybe it's a couple of times in your life, but you can share one that was really meaningful to you. So I'm going to go ahead and call on Randy.
Good morning. Good afternoon here. Hi. I really resonated, Ray, when you talked about the balance that, like, I'll go down a path of believing this is my most loving choice, and then I'll recognize another frightened part come up, so I have to step back and go, what fears are really active in me? And the example I'm thinking of is I have a frightened part that likes, when we walk into a restaurant, to find the best table and to find a really nice view for myself. So, and I'm seeing, like, a selfish, frightened part that I'm serving. So my compromise would be not challenging the frightened part from love that I don't need to have the best thing every time. So I end up challenging that by offering the best view to someone else in the party without resentment. It's coming from a loving place, because the real integrity issue for me is a frightened part that believes it has to have it. So it's almost like in reverse of what one would think. If I offer the better seat to a visitor, for example, who comes out to see us, that's coming from love for me, but not fear, like I'm trying to make them like me better, because my frightened parts want that seat.
So you see that as a way that you're in integrity, even yes. though the written part would rather have its way.
Yes. And so this is a case where someone looking at me might say, oh, you know, he's caretaking this other person.
Uh-huh.
But my compromise would be not caregiving this other person because I get to see this view, you know, pretty much any night of the week and they're here visiting and I would love to delight them with this view. And I challenge a frightened part in me that's giving up something that it wants. And it looks like I'm compromising, but I'm really not. I'd be compromising if I didn't challenge that frightened part that wants to keep it for itself.
Well, it always depends on your intention, Randy.
Yes.
Is it coming from love or is it coming from fear?
Yeah, that's right. So that's the strong message I'm getting in this is to really pay attention to my intention. And then I know what my most loving choice can be as long as I'm doing that.
And as you point out, Randy, only you know what your intention is.
Yes. And if it's caretaking, it's not a loving part.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I'd like to go back to what Ray said for a minute.
Oh, okay.
You seem to think that it's a problem because it's either black or white, love or fear. And that's the case. But sometimes what you're experiencing, I think, or what you described is a splintered personality. As one part of you wants to do one thing and one part of you wants to do another. And so you feel you're splintered. As you create authentic power, you begin to integrate all of the parts of your personality and you integrate them in love. And that is the process of becoming whole in your life. That's why we can say that when you choose love, you're choosing with integrity. And when you choose fear, you're out of integrity because there's a part of you that knows that's not love.
Okay. Thank you, beloved. I'd like to call on Pam.
Yes. Hi everyone. Can you hear? Yeah. Hi. An area of my life that I've really seen a big change in, and I hadn't really put quite all the pieces together until just right now when you're talking about integrity or versus connection, is I advocate for children in court who have been removed from their parents' care because of abuse or neglect. And what I've seen, I mean, this has been going, you know, my awareness has changed over several years now, but what I'm really seeing differently that I was doing before is that I was attached to an outcome to have the parents behave in a certain way, which was caretaking them, caretaking their children, my being superior. I mean, I've seen lots of frightened parts come up in that. And it's interesting what I've seen differently. Of course, the cases are different, but I do believe that what I've seen differently is that I just do my best. I pay attention to what's going on in my body before I speak. And I just do my best to say whatever it is I feel like I really need to say in that moment from a loving part, but and obviously from being truthful.
Can you give us a specific example so it makes it's really clear?
Yes. That there was a young mother who had been drug addicted and had a lot of issues. She'd already had several children taken from her care, and she had an 8-year-old son who was in her care at that point. And I originally started out. I mean, when I became aware of it, I wasn't aware of it at the time, but I was being judgmental of her. I was attached to her behaving in a certain way because this 8-year-old was having a lot of fear, a lot of anger about not being with his mother and about how he'd been treated and that kind of thing. So, I mean, it was just ripe for all kinds of frightened parts, really. But when I became more aware, instead of being attached to what she was doing, I was able to change what I was doing. And at first, there wasn't much difference in her. I mean, I would just say what I needed to say. But what I feel was happening is that she was feeling the difference also, because she wasn't really feeling the judgment. Even though, I mean, I was very honest with her about, you know, what I felt would support her in the best way. But the case resolved much quicker after that point. I mean, I can almost remember to the day, this is about a year ago that this case went on, but I remember just becoming really aware early on in the case that I didn't want to behave that way, because even I mean, the whole system is kind of geared around that, you know, make, you know, quote unquote, the parents behave in a certain way so that they can get their children back and that kind of thing. But what I realized is, I mean, there's so much more to it. You know, I just finished reading the chapter on karma and realizing that this is a karmic necessity for everyone involved, including myself. And so when I really started to change how I was speaking and acting with the mother, it just seemed like the case started resolving much quicker at that point, because she did start making changes. I mean, I don't know. She'd been in the system for a while, so some of that came to bear. But I do feel like it was because the energy between us really changed. And I know my energy changed. Instead of trying to, you know, make sure that she did certain things, and like I said, there was caretaking, there was superiority, and there was definitely attachment involved. But I hadn't really thought about it like from the point of integrity as such, but there is a wholeness that happens when I'm able to really look at it from the most loving place I can. And that's how I've done my best for a long time to approach my cases. But I realize that there's still frightened parts there that I want to become more and more aware of and just go deeper with.
So some of the people that you work with bring up frightened parts of your personality that feel superior. And
yes, and want to caretake and are attached. Yes.
Right. And it's how wonderful to see the difference whenever you're not judging someone from a frightened part. It may not even change what happened, but you know in you that you're not pushing her away and creating a wall between you. You're doing your best to support her with integrity. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes. I mean, that's what I feel like has really changed in how, you know, how I interact, how I connect. I mean, it isn't just an interaction now, which I think it was before. It is more of a connection, just soul to soul, at least from my perspective anyway.
Right. And that's the only thing you can change, right, is your connection.
Right.
Whether you're connected soul to soul. But that certainly supports an environment that the possibility of others creating like that is laid. You're opening that possibility for her and others that when you change from love to fear without attachment.
Yes, and right. And I mean, I do feel like I see it a lot of times, not always, but I've seen it in a lot of my cases that things do change.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Pam. That was beautiful. Thanks so much.
Sure, thank you. Mm-hmm.
That's a good example, really good example. How about you, Gabby?
Good morning.
Oh, can you hear me? I hear a lot of echo.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Okay. So I have an example. Our daughter got engaged when she was 19 years old, which brought a lot of frightened parts up in me. I didn't want her to make this decision so quickly and jump into that. So that was like, you know, frightened parts came up of, I know better for you. And, but anyway, we came to, I made the compromise with her to wait at least until she gets married, until she's 21 years old. The reasoning behind, I kind of was manipulative about it. So I said, you know, you should wait until you're at least 21 to have a legal drink. You shouldn't get married before. So there were lots of compromises I took with her, and they all came from the frightened parts. But I really was not happy about her getting married at all. So she wanted now to get married next year, which also I'm thinking, oh my God, she's still in school. Why does she want to get married? You know, I'm, all these frightened parts came up, and I wanted to kind of stop that. And I, it was really, really lots of frightened parts came up in me. I wanted to caretake, there was superiority. Every time I said to her, why don't you wait? I created distance from her. We were not talking about it. I was so attached to the outcome until I completely realized, you know, I realized what it's doing in my body. I realized, oh my God, this is all frightened parts in me. And then I kind of washed over me the realization. It's like, I am so attached to the outcome. I can't continue like this. So, but I have to tell her how I really feel about it. Cause I kind of, you know, always said, well, it's not, you know, just like from a very superior, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Until I told myself, I am just gonna let her know my intention. I set my intentions. I'm coming from love. I'm letting her know how I really feel about it, but I am not completely not attached to the outcome. And so we were sitting down, having this conversation, and it turned out to be a very, very loving and beautiful conversation. And then I told her, I guess you have some thinking to do. And then 10 minutes later, she came up and she said, actually, we have been talking about it. And we also thought it would be not wise to get married while we're in school. So that to me was like a beautiful example of when I'm not attached to the outcome and I'm having a setting my intentions to love instead of fear. We had a beautiful, beautiful conversation.
Sounds like you really shifted from creating authentic power before you were pursuing external power.
You're yes.
And now it's very different. And so you've opened your relationship up again instead of having a wall.
Yes.
Like you change, you need to change.
That's yeah.
That's a really great example.
And what you expressed didn't change. You still didn't think it was a good idea.
Exactly.
But the intention with which you expressed it allowed, kept you in your integrity and allowed a loving relationship to reemerge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful example, Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks so much. That's great. Yeah. Okay. So I'd like to call on Shumi. Shumi, are you? I don't see you right now.
Hi. Well, I raised my hand actually for the earlier talking about, you know, integrity and compromise question, and I was gonna ask the question which is related to work, and when the gentleman came up. Talk about it, I was like, oh great, I don't have to ask now because it's probably going to be addressed. And somehow I got disconnected from the call.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like meant to be universe. It's like, no, you still have to ask because, you know, you were going to ask. So pardon me if my question was already answered because I missed about a minute of the question. I'm just struggling with work.
Excuse
I know
me.
That.
Excuse me, Chumi, can I just say, so someone has activated screen sharing. If you deactivate that, because we're looking at all of what you've got on your desktop.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's you. That's interesting.
Is there a way you can change that, Lori, that setting?
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
Here we go.
There we go.
Thank you, Lori, or thank you, Dave. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shumi, go ahead.
Okay. So I know that you talked about it cannot be both. It's either integrity or compromises. But I'm struggling with that because I work for a corporation and I don't agree or, you know, I don't agree with what their intention is. Of course, it's about profit. And at the same time, I was able to shift to finally, when I go to work, I'm focusing on my clients. The intention is love, to help them. But then there are certain things I'm required to do, which if I don't do, obviously I might lose my job or got written up. But if I do it, I feel like I'm compromising my integrity, and my fear part is, you know, quit and run away, go to another company. But I also know it's going to happen over and over. It doesn't matter where I go unless I stop working for a corporation. So how do I find a balance of continue? And I do really love what I do. I just don't agree or doing certain things that I'm required to do.
So have you spoken to them about that?
Yes, and my manager was that, hey, you know, nothing's gonna change. It is the way it is. You better get used to it.
Uh-huh. Well, how interesting. So you're really looking at how can you be in your integrity and still work for this company? I think that's what you're saying.
Yes.
So again, it's the same issue we've been discussing. The question is, can you work for this company and still be a loving person? Can you still act with love?
Yeah.
Can you express yourself? When you talk to your manager, you'll have to look back and see if you had any attachment to the manager agreeing with you or somehow changing things so that you could continue to do what you're doing and say what you're saying. If you had any attachment, then that means you were expressing yourself from fear, and that means you were attempting to pursue external power. You were trying to change the company and specifically trying to change your manager, and that produces only violence and destruction, the pursuit of external power. If you were able to say those things from your heart, then you'd first look at what your intention would be for saying those things. Is it to make the manager and or the company wrong? Or is it to see if there's some way that you can work out something that you feel would be better, but without attachment to that intention? It's a very rich and complex circumstance, and you can't reduce it to black and white. But my hunch is that you had some attachments and some judgments involved in your actions and your words. And that's exactly where the lack of integrity comes in, from the perspective of your soul. If you could say the same things or express the same things, and you can, from love instead of from fear.
Without attachment.
And without attachment.
No expectation.
Then you could see what would happen. And then from there, you'd have more decisions to make. But they would be the same decision, to act in love or to act in fear. If you act in fear, that's the compromise. That's the step out of your integrity. Because a part of you knows what love is. And if you have a splintered personality, like I discussed a moment ago, and part of you says, yes, I understand, but the other part says, they're completely wrong. They're selfish. They're pursuing, in other words, external power. Then, as you create authentic power, you begin to challenge the part that judges, the part that feels superior, the part that demands change of other people without looking at yourself. And eventually, that part of you loses its control. And that is the creation of authentic power. And you have kept your integrity. Now, if the manager says, well, you can't even think those things and work here, then you have to look at a different situation. Is this making sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Chiumi.
So I really appreciate all of you bringing up so many amazing things and experiences and things you're realizing about yourself. I'm sure there's many more of you that have had experiences that we could talk about, and maybe probably more will come up for you as you think about this. And I just want to know, Gail, did you have something that you wanted to say? Because I thought I saw your hand up, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I had my hand up and then I put it down. I did have an example. Recently I visited my aunt. She's my elderly aunt. She's in her 90s, and spent the night with her and was leaving the next morning. And she's quite religious, and she'd been talking about what she'd been doing with her church the night before. So the next morning, when I'm getting up ready to leave and we're going to have breakfast, she had laid out all of these pamphlets, all in order. There were probably about 8 of them laid out on the kitchen table. And she said, I thought you might want to take these and read these. And she said, you were asking about, you know, what I do at church, or you're asking about, you know, like my Sunday school class. And she said, here's, you know, all these pamphlets you can take and read. And I had so much pain in my heart. I wanted, a frightened part of my personality was really in a lot of pain. And I really wanted to feel better. I wanted to please her. And I thought, you know, Gail, you could just take them and you're never gonna read them. And, you know, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do that. So I said, you know, I really appreciate the effort you went to put these together, but I won't read them. I just won't read them. And I didn't say anything more. I didn't know what else to say. And she said, well, okay. She said that, well, that's okay. She said, I hope I did. She said, I hope I didn't offend you. And I said, you didn't offend me at all. And we went on to eat breakfast. That was such a big thing for my frightened part, to not want to please her and wanting to feel that pain to go away right away in me, and just take them and put them under my car seat and let that be the end of it.
And throw them away when you got it.
Gail, that's a beautiful, beautiful story and a powerful story.
It is.
And you know what you would be feeling had you taken those and said, thank you, I'll read them, knowing that you weren't going to. You would resent, first of all, a frightened part of you would judge yourself severely. Secondly, another frightened part of yourself would judge her severely. Another frightened part of yourself would create distance and not want to see her again and make reasons for that. All of these reactions are painful. And instead, you chose to be in your integrity and to express it in love. That was the integrity part, the love part, not just saying it, because you could have said it in judgment and fear and resentment, but you said it in love and you were in your integrity.
Even though there was a frightened part of you that was active, that was strong.
And because that was the case, this is a beautiful example of creating authentic power in that moment. And as you continue to do these things, things exactly like that, this part of your personality, and in this case, these parts of your personality, begin to lose their control over you. They'll still return. You'll still feel the pain of them. You'll still feel the thoughts, the judgmental and comparative thoughts of them. But they won't control you as much as they did in the past. They won't penetrate as deeply. It'll be more like water running off the feathers of a duck. They still come, but they don't control you. And that's what, you've heard this before, I know, but that's what we mean when we say, when fear ceases to scare you, it can't stay. But you need to face the fear. You need to make the decision. And that's where all the authentic power guidelines come to help you. Commitment, courage, compassion, and conscious communication and actions. And for those of you who are new and you don't have those guidelines, go to seatofthesoul.com and you can download them for free and take a look at them and start experimenting with those that you think might be helpful to you.
Right, and we'll be coming back together again next month. You can be thinking about things that you might want to talk about next month too.
Thank you, Gail, for that. Powerful, beautiful
absolutely.
Example of integrity.
So beautiful.
And creating authentic power in the same moment.
As they come together.
Right. When you're in a loving part of your personality, creating authentic power requires no courage and there's no pain. It's when you're in a frightened part of your personality that both courage, that courage is created, and that the action of acting with love creates authentic power.
Oh, what a beautiful way. I think this is a beautiful way to end the call. And what I'm going to ask all of you to do right now is to close your eyes if you can, but to just be together. Let's just all, as if we were in a big circle together, all of us that are on the call today, as if we're in this big circle. And what we're doing is we're holding hands with each other, we're connected with each other, and we can just feel each other. We don't have to be in physical proximity to be connected, because we are connected. We're definitely connected. Just let yourself experience that. And I want you to open yourself to the times that you are compromising in your life, the times that you feel you have to open yourself to see, how can I be in integrity and with love? Because that's the only way you can really be in integrity, the way we're speaking of it in wholeness, is to create with love. Where do I need to do that in my life? And to open yourself to what your guidance tells you about that. Yes. And see how you can begin to act from that place more and more often without getting upset with yourself if you find yourself going back to an old way of compromising. So just don't let another frightened part come in and take away the value of the times when you have been in your integrity. And just continue to practice that for the next month together to see what happens if you are open to that. And we could talk about that on the next call if you feel like doing that. But right now we can just be with that and open ourselves. And beloved, do you have anything to say about that as well?
I don't. You've said it. Thank you very much, beloved. And thank you to everyone on the call. It's a joy to be together
again. It's a joy to be with you. And I look forward to being together again next month. And open yourself to all the times whenever you can be in integrity, and do your best to do that, to create authentic power, to be creating with love.
And if your eyes are closed, still closed, you can open them now. Look around you, look on your screen and see the faces that are with you. See the room that you're in. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next week, next month. And before we leave,
some of you will be seeing much earlier than that.
Yes, of you will be seeing earlier.